Okay, today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Kuf Dalid. We left off in daf Kuf Gimel on the base. We're right before the Mishnah. We didn't get quite up until the Mishnah. We're at the two dots, just a few lines before the Mishnah. We were discussing how the Mishnah had said that this whole perek is going to be about agreements of kablanos and chakirus, where someone works in somebody else's field, either for a fixed percentage of the produce of the field, or for a fixed rate, he pays a rent of the field and he gets whatever the field produces, that would be chakirus. But the Mishnah had said that just like they split the wine that's produced by the vineyard, they also split the zmuros and the kanim. They also split the vines themselves and the poles that hold up the vines. So says the Gemara, k'shem shecholken b'yayin, k'cholken b'zmuros v'kanim, kanim mayavid detayu. What are we talking about? Poles over here. What kind of poles? So Amri Dibei Rabbi Yana, Kanim Amuchalak and Shebehen Ma'amid Nesag Fonim. I sort of gave it away when I translated the word Kanim. Right? It's the these are reeds that were smoothed out that were used to hold up the vines. That's what the Kanim are. Generally speaking, Kanim are not part of the vine, but they help support the vine, and therefore they're critical to any vineyard. So when you're going to divide the products of a vineyard, one of the things is going to be Kanim. Ushneim Misapkin Nesag Kanim. And then the Mishnah concluded by saying that they both provide the kanim. So if says Gemara Lamali, obviously they both provided the kanim to get things started. Otherwise, why else would they split it later on? Why does the Mishnah have to tell me shneim misapkin es hakanim? So the Gemara says, no, matam ka'amar. It's just explaining why they divide the kanim. Matam shneim cholkim b'kanim mishum de shneim misapkin es hakanim. Why is it that they divide the poles that hold up the vines? Because initially they both provided the poles that hold up the vines. That's why they divide it when they split everything up. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamakabel sadeh mechaver v'hi beis hashlachan obeisi ilan. If someone was makabel a field from his friend, again, being makabel a field at this point means either with kablanus or chakirus, one or the other, doesn't make a difference. And it's a beis hashlach, and it's a field that has an irrigation process. It has it's a field that has a spring that can irrigate the field. O beisa ilan, or it's a field meaning it's a beis hashlach and it has a spring because the rainwater doesn't suffice to irrigate the field, so it has its own irrigation system. O beisa ilan, or it's a field that has a tree in it, and the tree produces fruit, and therefore, obviously, if you're going to take a field to work on, a field that has a tree is advantageous because you get to enjoy the fruits of the tree, and trees don't involve any work. Well, it's just there, and it's going to keep producing fruits every year. So if it has, if you are a kablan or a choker on one of these types of fields, and then yavash hamayan v'niksa se'ilan, the spring dries up, or the tree gets chopped down, you can't deduct from the amount that you're going to pay. Again, let's assume it's talking about a choker now, but it could be a kablan as well. You can't deduct from the originally agreed upon amount that you're supposed to pay. If you're a choker and you're supposed to give him 10 bushels of wheat a month for that field, you can't say, well, yeah, I was going to give you 10 bushels of wheat a month for the field because I was assuming that I was going to get fruits from a tree also for my own benefit. But now that I'm not, I don't have that benefit from this field, I only want to give you 8 bushels a month. No such taina. You have to maintain the original agreement. But if the owner of the field originally said, look, I want you to work this field for me, this sadeh beis hashlachin, this sadeh beis ha'ilan, yavah shamayim minitzas ilan menachal min chakuro, since he included the fact that it was a field that had a spring or a field that had a tree as part of the lashon of the original agreement, and then it turns out that the spring goes away or the tree goes away, so then you can deduct from the payment, from the rental payment that he normally has to pay for that field, he's not going to have, the choker, the kablan, is not going to have to pay what he originally agreed to pay, because the field is not the field that he originally agreed to take over. It doesn't have the very critical element of an irrigation system or the tree. Says Gemara, Hechidami, Ilem et Yavash Nahara Rabba, going back on the first case of the Mishnah, where you take a base hashlach and a base ilan, and then we said it dries up, you can't pay any less for it. You still have to pay the full agreed upon amount. So it says, wait a second. If the major water supply of the whole city dried up, So why can't he deduct? Namely, Makas Medinahi. Can't he be able to tell him that this is not my fault? This is obviously something that's a communal issue. It's something that's a plaguing the entire community. And therefore, the agreed upon deal should no longer apply. Why do we say such a thing? That's a Mishnah. The Mishnah Daf Kofei and Beis. Hamakabel Sadeh Mechaveru Va'achla Chagav O'Nishtefa Im Makas Medinahi. Right, the Mishnah we're going to see probably first thing Sunday morning is that if it's a Makas Medina, then you menakalom in chakuro, then you take away, you deduct from the payment. So if this the water that dried up is a major water supply for the whole city, so then that's called a Makas Medina. He should be able to be menakalom in chakuro. So Rav Papa says, no, the Yavash Nahara Zuta. No, it was a small river that came off of the large river that went toward this field. That's what dried up. The guy can say to him, you should have started schlepping with buckets, meaning don't tell me that it's no fault of your own that this field isn't able to produce. The field should still be able to produce. You should start schlepping with buckets, so it's not as easy to irrigate the field, but still you're expected to irrigate the field. If you look at Tosos, the top Tosos, Vim Tomar, Afilu lo efshar nami, amai menakin lo, meaning even if, let's say he couldn't schlep with buckets, let's say there was no, once that little water source dried up, he wasn't going to be able to, it was too far or whatever, there was no way he was going to be able to schlep with buckets. Still, shouldn't we be able to say that shouldn't we still say that he can't be menakeh? Because what do we say? When can you deduct from the payment when it's a makas medina? As long as it's not a makas medina, you cannot deduct from the payment. What do I care if you could have watered it, you couldn't have watered it? Bottom line is, if it's a personal issue, it's just this field, you can't deduct. Only if it's a Makas Medina you can deduct. So why do we have to have such a svara? Oh, you should have brought with buckets. Even if you couldn't have brought with buckets, we should say the same thing. Am I menachem lo? The kivin de lo yavashnara rabba sula havi Makas Medina. If the major water supply of the whole city didn't dry up, so it's not labeled the Makas Medina, and right there, you're done. And therefore, the guy has no taina. So the Yeshlomar, the Nakat Hai Taimelash Minan, Tafilu Yav Shunami Sharya Ore Sado Sacherim. Now, the reason we chose such a Lashna, why don't you go schlep with buckets, is even if all of the other minor waterways that irrigate other fields also dried up, the Hashtavi Makas Medina, where it would be a Makas Medina, he says, still, you would not be able to be menach. Not every Makas Medina can you deduct from your payments. Only a Makas Medina, which handcuffs you in terms of your ability to irrigate the field. But if you have a Makas Medina that still enables you to go and irrigate the field by schlepping with buckets, so then you expect it to schlep with buckets. The Dafka Ba'achlachag of Anishtafa, which the Mishnah is going to say that we just read on Kofayim Beis, She'ein Yochol Asakein Akilkal Al Yidei Shum Tareach Menachalo. When can you deduct from the agreed upon payment? Only if the Makas Medina is such that there's no way to fix it. There's no way to get around it. There's no way to compensate for the Makas that struck the entire Medina. But if it's something that you can compensate for, something that you can make up for with a little bit more work, then you're expected to make up for it with a little bit more work. That's Chiddush number one of Tosos. Inami, another possible answer. Yishlomar devade b'chakirus lo haya tzarek letamzeh. You're right. When it comes to chocher, when it comes to someone who's paying X amount of produce per month, regardless of what the field produces, then you're right, we don't need the fact that he was able to irrigate it by schlepping with buckets. Just the fact that it's not a Makas Medina should be enough to tell us that he can't deduct anything from his payments. Afilu b'lo afshalasuya, even if he couldn't bring water from anywhere else, asi shapir. Aval mishum kablonus itzrich. But what if he were a kablon? What does a kablon do? He pays a percentage of the produce of the field. Now, the waterway dried up. Now, if he's not going to draw water from somewhere else with buckets or something, then the field is obviously not going to produce very much. So, shalo yuchalomar lo asikba, maybe the worker, the kablon, could say, you know what? I'm supposed to pay you 20% of 50% of what this field produces. 50% of nothing is nothing. Sorry, I can't. It dried up. Look, I have a valid excuse. It's not like I'm just deciding that we're going to see soon. Next mission, if a guy just decides he doesn't want to work on it after agreeing to a kablanus arrangement, so then he's going to have to pay. But I'm not just deciding. My water source dried up. What do you want me to do? That he has no such excuse. As long as he has the ability to draw water from somewhere else, he has to go and bring that water. But if he didn't have the ability to draw the water from somewhere else, and it were a kablanus arrangement, then in a chinami, maybe he would not have to pay if he doesn't work the field, because he has a very strong excuse why he didn't work the field. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Papa, Hani Tarti Masnisa Kamaisa, the first two Mishnayos of this Perek, the one we just did now and the one we did yesterday, are both Mishkachas Labein Bechachranusa, Bein Bekablanusa. As we've explained each one, they apply both to Chachirus arrangements and to Kablanus arrangements, meaning the halachos, even though the first Mishnah said Mekabal Sada Mechavera, which implies Kablanus, and the second Mishnah also Mekabal Sada Mechavera, but then it said Menakala Min Chakuro, which implies Chakirus, they both apply to both types of arrangements, Kablanus and Chakirus. It doesn't really matter. The halachos that we've learned are equally applicable to both. But Mikan Ve'elach, but from here on in, from the next Mishnah going forward, Mikan ve'elach di'isa b'kablanusa, lesa b'chakrenusa. U'di'isa b'chakrenusa, lesa b'kablanusa. If we learn a Mishnah that's about Kablanus, it's not going to apply to Chakirus. If we learn a Mishnah from here on in that's about Chakirus, it will not apply to Kablanus. Frek tells us there's one halacha that we learned that does not apply to both Kablanus and Chakirus. Hani trei masnisa kamaisa isu ben b'chakrenusa, says tells us, v'af agav t'kishem shecholkin b'tvua, lesa b'chakirus. By chakirus, what do you mean? K'shem shecholkin b'tvua, kacholkin b'tevin uvakash. That just like they divide the grain, so too they divide the straw, the hay, the other stuff that's just around the field. That's not true by chakirus. By chakirus, it's not a division. Chakirus, you don't divide anything. You're paying X amount of bushels of wheat for rental of the property per month. Period. It has nothing to do with dividing anything. So that halacha didn't apply to chakirus. It says, yeah, but mikol makom ikr milsa dahinu resha, mayri ben mechakirus ben mekablanus. The majority of the Mishnah applied to both chakirus and kablanus. It was just that one detail that didn't apply to both. But from here on in, the focus of the Mishnayos is going to be on halachos that do not apply equally to chakirus and kablanus, that are about one and not the other. Says the Gemara Vayter, amr lo chakur lisad beis hashlachan zeh, our Mishnah had said that if you didn't just say, I'm making you a kablan or a choker on a beis hashlachan or beis ilan, but I said beis hashlachan zeh, beis ilan zeh, and then the waterway dries up or the tree gets cut down, then I could be menacha. Then we can go and deduct from the payment. V'amai, fraktumar, why? Leim le'shma bi'alma amrilach. Maybe when I said beis hashlachan zeh, we call this place beis hashlachan. It's just its name. It's not that it actually is a Beis HaShlachin. We call this place Beis HaIlan, right? The big tree field. It doesn't actually have a big tree. It's just the name of the field. That's just a way of identifying it. So I didn't mean that I'm guaranteeing you a field that actually has a big tree. Milo Tanya. So you say, well, that's ridiculous. You call it a big tree field. Of course it has a big tree. He says, no, I'll prove to you otherwise. We have a brisa that says, Ha'omer l'chaveru beis kor afar ani mocher lach. A guy says, I'm going to sell you a base core of dirt. Afal pi she'in bo el lesech higiyo. Even though it only has a lesech, which is much less than a base core, the sale is still binding. Shlo machalo el shma, because they call that place a base core, v'hud miskari base core. That's provided that they actually call it a base core. If the place was not known by that name, so then you're just deceiving the guy. But if it was known by that name, and you assume the guy understood that was the name that it was known by, right? Karma animo chalach, afal pishen bogafanim higio. If I tell you I'm selling you a karma, I'm selling you a vineyard, even though there's not a single vine to be seen anywhere in the vicinity of the field that I'm selling you, still it's a binding sale. Shalom achlal shema, because I'm just selling you the name, not that it's an actual karem. V'hud miskari karma, again, provided that that's what it's actually called. Pardes ani mochalach, afal pishen bo rimonim higio. Shalom machalo al shema, same idea. V'hud miskari pardes, provided that they actually call it a pardes. Alma, amrei shema be'alma amrilach. So it seems that if by a sale you can say, I wasn't, when I referred to the field by a certain title, I wasn't saying that that actually exists in the field. I was just sort of selling you the name. Hachanami name Leishma Bialma Amri Lach. So why, maybe we could say the same thing over here, that he's telling him, it's just the name that I was that I told you that you're going to be the Kablan of the Choker in my field that's called by this name. Not that it actually has a spring of water that helps irrigate it. Not that it actually has a tree in it. No, it's just that that's what we call it. Mashal Ma'adav Adoma, right? We have we do this all the time. We refer to things by things that it used to be, used to have. Right, I sent someone recently, wanted to know where Mincha Minyan is during the week, so I sent them to the Red Shul. And they were driving around the block 5 times, and they couldn't find the Red Shul, because the Red Shul is no longer red. It used to be that it was housed in a red place, now it's in a brown. Right, so people call it by the old name. It's not that it actually still has it, but sometimes we refer to things as they used to be. Now, the Rambam seemed to have had a different gears in our Gemara when it comes to the selling. Right, if you say, Beis Korafar Ani Mochalach, the Rambam has a girsa, or it seems he has a girsa, because his lashon is that ha'omer l'chaveru beis kor ploni ani mochalach, right? That you're much more specific. You don't just say beis kor, but you identify exactly which field it is. And the Ksos is medayik that the Rambam must have had that girsa in the Gemara, that it's beis kor afar zeh ani mochalach, that he must have had the word zeh or ploni in the Gemara. We have it much more liberally interpreted, that even if you don't say zeh, even if you don't say ploni, it's still going to be good enough. The why were these places called by these titles, though? How can you call a place that doesn't have a vine in it a gefen? So that's what I was just explaining. According to some Rishonim, it's like we said, it's based on, according to the Ritva, it's based on what it used to have. We're talking about a field that used to have Gefanim, so it doesn't have Gefanim, but still, everyone calls that the Kerem. Everyone calls that place the vineyard. The Rabbeinu Yohonasan is quoted in the Shittim Kvetzes that it's called a Beis Kor because it's chashuv like a Beis Kor. Not that it ever had it, but it got that title because it's chashuv like a Beis Kor. Or it's called a Beis Kor because he also quotes that it used to have a Beis Kor Afar, and then river flooded it, and therefore it's called Al Shem Tchilaso based on what it used to have. Okay, the Ritva also says no, that it's not that it used to have a Beis Kor Afar, but it produces peros like a Beis Kor Afar, and therefore it was called the Beis Kor Afar because it was so good that it actually produced that amount of fruits. Okay, whatever it is, it somehow got these titles, these names. Okay, the Ritva asks, though, a very fundamental question. What are we asking over here? We're saying that maybe when the guy hires the Kablan or the Chokher to work in the field, and even though he calls it a Beis HaShlachar or a Beis HaIlan, and then subsequently the spring is gone, the Ilan is gone, it's still, he can say, nah, I was just referring to it by the title, not by what it actually has in it, just like we see by a sale. Ritva says they're fundamentally different cases. By the sale, I'm selling you something that I'm calling a kerem, and if you were to look at the field that I'm selling you, you will see right now that there's not a single vine in the place. I'm selling you something I call a pardes. You look at it yourself with your own eyes, you'll see that there's not a single rimon in the entire field. By our case of the chakirus or the kablanos, I'm hiring you to be my kablan, my choker on the field, and I'm calling it a beis hashlachan, and guess what? There is a spring in the field. It's right there. It's just that later on, it gets destroyed. So I can really still come with a taina that I only called it a beis hashlachin, not because it actually has a spring in it, which it did, but because that's what it's called. Or I only called it a beis ha'ilan, not because it has a fruit tree in the field, which it did, but because we just like to call it beis ha'ilan. How can you compare the two cases? So says the Ritva, no, it's a kal v'chomer. He says, we're looking at it the wrong way. We should look at it the opposite way, that it's a kal v'chomer. If I could say that I was just calling it by a shame, and that it never really had to have a pardes or vines or whatever else I call it by, and I can get away with saying that it was just a name, so kal v'chomer, if it actually had what I said it had, and then later on, by some natural disaster or occurrence, it just lost it, kal v'chomer, I should be able to get away with that. Because I wasn't even lying at the beginning. I was telling you that it had. I was calling it by a name, and you understand why it was called by this name, because you see exactly what's in it. The title makes so much sense. And then later on, something happens. So I could tell you, look, I was giving you this field. Obviously, I called it the State Elon because it had a tree in it. So of course I was going to call it by the tree. but I wasn't giving it to you only al manas that there's a tree in it. I was giving you that field, but you understand why I was identifying it by the tree, because there actually was a tree in it. So that's the way to view it, says the Ritva. Okay, anyway, the Gemara has a kasha over here. So it says Gemara, Amar Shmuel lo kasha. Hadar amalei machkir l'choker, hadar amalei choker l'machkir. It depends who initiates. Amar le machkir l'choker, if the machkir is the one who says this phrase to the choker, that I want this sada beis hashlachin, sada beis, meaning I want you to work in my sada beis hashlachin, my sada beis ilan, shma bi alma amar le. Then it could just be he's identifying the field. Amar le choker l'machkir, kpeda. But if it's the choker saying it to the machkir, he's saying that field with the tree, right? So then we understand that the choker is being makbid, that he dafka wants a tree. So it depends who says what. Second answer, Ravina Amar, Idi V'idi Damle Machir L'choker. No, both cases is where the machir says it to the choker. Midkamer Zeh, Mechal Dekai Begava Askinan. If he says Zeh, he must be standing right next to it. Beis HaShlachin Lamalei L'meimar. Why then, but if he's standing right next to it, why then does he have to say Beis HaShlachin? You see it, right? You're pointing to that field. Why express explicitly that it's a Beis HaShlachin? Dekamerlei Beis HaShlachin kedekai mahashta. That he says, I want the Beis HaShlachin as is, meaning I want it to be a Beis HaShlachin. It's this field, but I'm makbid that it be an actual Beis HaShlachin. So that's when we say that there's a hakpada, that it be Beis HaShlachin, and that if it's gone later on, that it's not going to, that he can be menache, he can deduct from his payment for the rental for the field. Okay, if you look at Tosos, idividi damle machkir l'choker. Now, what happened? We had one answer. The Gemara was that there's a chiluk between whether the machkir is one that says it's to the choker, or the choker the one that says to the machkir that it's dafka beis hashlachin, right? Then the second answer says, no, it doesn't make a difference. Both could be talking about cases where the machir says to the chocher, and we come up with a different chilik, namely that he's standing next to the field. Why do we have to say idividi damle machir l'chocher? Why don't we say idividi damle chocher l'machir? Meaning, shouldn't we have just said the first chilik doesn't matter at all? It could be either way, machir l'chocher, chocher l'machir. We don't care who says to who. The whole chilik is whether it's you're standing next to the field or you're not standing next to the field. The fact that the Gemara only says that it's machir l'choker sounds a little bit strange. So Tosfos says l'chor mashma debar amar l'choker l'machir have kpeda belav haitaima midlo kamer idividi bein amar l'choker l'machir bein amar l'machir l'choker. It sounds from the fact that the Gemara doesn't raise the possibility that both cases could be talking about where the choker says to the machir. Sounds like we're going to assume automatically that Rav is correct in the sense that, meaning Shmuel rather is correct, in the sense that Shmuel's initial answer is correct in the sense that when the Choker says to the Machir, automatically we do assume that's a Kepeda. It's just when the Machir says to the Choker, we don't necessarily assume it's not a Kepeda. Right? When the Machir says to the Choker, that's where there's still a Chilik. Says Tosfos, however, Alval E. F. Shalom Arkein. But that you can't say that. Thomas Nissen, and obviously whenever you have Tosfos say such a strong lashon of there's a pshat here and you can't say this pshat, it's got to be wrong. So if you look in the little aleph in Agos Agra, near Benev, Ramacholik, right? He'll always point out that there's a rishon that says exactly that pshat. That's always, Tosfos generally doesn't say, don't say this pshat unless someone actually says that pshat. He's trying to steer you away from another shita and rishonim. Anyway, he says, Eif shalomar kein damas nisen b'dam lechoker l'machir ayri. The Mishnah has to be talking about a case where the choker says to the machir, where it's the guy working in the field saying to the balabayis, Tiktani, amr lechakar li sada beis hashlachin, v'afilu hachim mishum hay taima dafka havik peda. So he says in our Gemara, when it says that it's the Kuli Alma, Idi V'Idi, where it's Machir L'Choker, it doesn't mean Dafka Machir L'Choker. It could also be Choker L'Machir. Well, the only thing he's trying to say, El Mishum D'Shmuel, El Mishkach Kepeda B'Machir L'Choker, Kam Ravina D'Machir L'Choker, Nami Av Kepeda. Because Shmuel said that you never have a Kepeda when it's a Machir to the Choker, so Ravina just comes, tries to make the point that no, even when it's Machir L'Choker, sometimes there's such a thing that you can find the Kepeda. But in a chinami, the chilik could exist as well when there's choker l'machir. Good, so that's how Tosfos understands the Gemara, that Ravina is giving a totally new answer. He's not relying on Shmuel's chilik of machir l'choker versus choker l'machir at all. New Mishnah. Hamakabel sada mechaveru v'hovira. Let's say a person agrees to a kablanus arrangement. This does not work for chakiros. This is only about a kablanos arrangement. And shamanosa and then vaovira, he doesn't work it. He just leaves the field fallow and he doesn't do anything with it. So shamanosa kamaru yelasos finosinlo. So you have to figure out, you have to cheshbin what the field should have produced had it been worked properly, and that's what he pays. Shakachosivlo, im ovir vlo evid ashali bimitva, because that's part of what you write into the shtar, that if I don't work this field and I just leave it as is, I'm gonna pay you from the mitzvah, I'm still gonna pay you the good stuff that it should have produced. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to give five examples of where a lashon of a shtar or a lashon of an agreement was not dictated by Chazal, was not dictated by the Chachamim, but became standard practice to include in various agreements, and the Chachamim darshined the wording, even though it was not a wording that was instituted by the Chachamim still darshined the wording to learn halachos from the wording of the agreement. So says the Gemara, Rameir ha'yidorish lashon hadyot. Rameir, and we can give five examples. First one is Rameir. First one has to do with us, the other four don't. Rameir darshined the lashon hadyot. Tanya, Rameir omer imovir v'lo evid ashan b'mitva. Right, that's our exact Mishnah, that if you say imovir, since the agreement says imovir v'lo evid ashan b'mitva, mitzvah, that's why, even if you don't do anything, you're going to have to pay what the field could have produced. Now, in all these cases of Dorish Lashon Hedyot, the question begs itself, and the Rishonim asked the question, what's the Chiddush that were Dorish Lashon Hedyot? Obviously, if the agreement was worded in a certain way, you could be medayik in the wording of the agreement. Why should it be that it has to be written by rabbis in order to be medayik in the wording? If I make an agreement with you and I say that, look, if I don't work your field, I'm going to pay you anyway what it could produce, so obviously I'm chayv to pay you what it could produce. Why do you need a rabbi to tell me that? What's the big chap, the big chiddush that we're doresh lashon hadyot? So Tosa says, phenomenal chiddush. Tosa says, "Hayidar shloshen hadiot l'shonos shlo tiknu chachamim lichtov ela hadiotos hurgulu l'kosvan." These are the shonos that the chachamim never instituted. You have to write. People were in the habit of writing. Hayidar ishi v'darshnit va'afilu lo kosav ki ilu nichtav. And even if you didn't actually write these words, since that was the standard practice, it was the standard lashonos of such agreements in those places, it's ki'ilu you did write them. D'idavka kishakasav, because if we're talking about where it's dafka that you wrote them, maha yadorish, what are you talking about? Darshaning. Pshita shiyesh alakayim kamo shehisna, the lava smachti. Then it's just doing what it says. You make a tanai, of course you have to follow that tanai. I don't care if a rabbi wrote it, a hedyot wrote it, doesn't make a difference. You make a tanai, of course you follow it. No, the chiddush is you didn't write it. You didn't say it. But the standard practice was to say it, so we're assuming you intend to follow standard practice, and therefore we could still darshan such a lashon, even though the such a lashon was not in Takaras Chavim. The Rabbeinu Chananel quotes from the Ramban, the Ramban quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel, that even Rameir, that the Chiddush over here is that it's Rameir, the Chiddush is who's the author, that even Rameir, who generally requires Tanai Kafel in order for any Tanai to be binding, is still going to say that you include this Lashon Hedyot without any sort of Tanai Kafel, it's still going to be binding. Just by saying, Imever Vlo Evid, Shalim B'mitva. So according to Rameir, L'chora, that should not work, because you should say, Anim Oved, then of course I'm going to be a Shalim B'mitva, or something like that. You should have to, it should be a Tanai Kafel, you should have the flip side. So the Chiddush is that you don't need Tanai Kafel. That's what the Ramban quotes from Ben Chananel. However, the Ramban rejects that, because the Ramban says, what do you mean Tanai Kafel? Over here, it's not a Tanai. It's just an agreement to pay, meaning it's not like, if I do this, then I, meaning a Tanai, over here, it's not, if I don't work, I'm going to pay I'm going to pay you what the field produces. It's even if I don't work. Meaning a tonight would be, if I work, then I'll pay. If I don't work, then I won't pay. Over here, there's no flip side. You're going to pay no matter what. So you don't need a tonight kafel in this case. So that's what the Ramban disagrees with the Rabbeinu Chananel's approach. The third approach, quoted by many Rishonim from Rabbi Yehuda Albar Galuni, quoted by many of the other Rishonim, is that you could explain that Ashan B'mitva means that I'll pay for the decrease of value of the karka from the fact that I didn't work it. I mean, sometimes in order for karka to maintain its value, it needs to be worked. So because it went down in value, Ashan B'mitva might just mean I'll compensate you for that. But not that I would compensate for what the field could have produced in terms of fruits, in terms of actual produce, that I'm not going to pay you for. So that's the chap, that Rameir says, no, you even have to pay for, when you say Ashan B'mitva, you don't just mean the decrease of value of the field, you even mean that you're going to pay for what the field could have produced. That's a question. Does the field really decrease in value? Does it go down in value when you don't work it? Adrabba, doesn't it have the ability to then replenish its nutrients? Isn't that the Rambam's whole vart in Shemitah? Right, the Rambam tries to give taimei mitzvos, tries to give reasons in the Morning Vuchim for many mitzvos. So he says, what's the reason for the mitzvah of Shemitah? So that the field could regenerate its nutrients and whatever, and that way it'll be able to produce more in the long run if there's a mandatory once every 7 years leaving it alone. Other Yishonim disagree with the Rambam because they say once every 7 years is not the way to do that. There, you know, you ask the experts in the field and they'll tell you that you have to rest every 3 years or something like that. Every 7 years isn't really gonna accomplish that goal. But the point is, it seems that resting a field increases the value, doesn't decrease the value. So it's a little bit of a difficult pshat. Okay, that's the first lashon hadyot. Second lashon hadyot, Rabbi Yehuda Yudorish lashon hadyot Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Adam may be carbon asher al ishto. If let's say a man is a wealthy man and his wife is chayiv a carbon olav yorid. Now the way carbon olav yorid works is that if you're poor, you bring a low level carbon, you bring a cheap carbon. If you're rich, you bring a high level carbon, an expensive carbon. So the man cannot say, my wife is poor, I happen to have a lot of money, but my wife is poor. No, he's going to have to bring an expensive carbon on behalf of his wife. V'chein kol carbon she chayev shekach hosiv la, because that's what it says in the ksuba. Achrayus to islay chalay min kadamis tuna, that any achrayus, anything that you're responsible to do, even from before the marriage, I'm taking upon myself. And once it's a chiyuv on him, so then he's going to have to pay for the expensive carbon because he's a rich man. That's how Tosfos explains it very clearly. Adam may be carbon asher al ishto v'chein kol carbon she chayev shekach hosiv la achrayus to islay chalay min kadamis tuna. Pirish. Kol karbanos shayis chayeves kodem shenises lo. Karbanos that she was chayev to bring before she married him, yavi ba'avura, he has to bring on her behalf. Shekasav la'achrayis tislayich shata chayeves yehei alai. All the achrayis that you are chayev for will be on me now. Min kademes tina, afilu chavos shekadmu l'nisuin. Even those chavos that precede the nisuin, it's still on me. That's number two. Number three of Dorish Lashon Hedyot. Hillel Hazaki no Yidorish Lashon Hedyot. Titania, Anche Alexandria, Mikachinus Noshel Sehem, Ubishask Nisas Nukuba, Banachem Vachot Nasamehen. What happened in Alexandria was that there were people that were Mikadish women, and as they were about to bring them into the Chuppah, as they were about to marry them, other guys would come and grab them and take them and sleep with them. Ubikshu Chacham Lasos Bnei Mamzerim. So the Chacham wanted to make their children Mamzerim, because after all, they already had an Erisin, and they were about to do Nisuin, and then they were taken away, and they were having children with other people. So they wanted to make all those kids Mamzerim. Samalah and Hillel Hazakin, so Hillel Hazakin, this is always what a rabbi is going to do, a posik will do, when dealing with a Mamzeris case, whatever research possible that he could do to try to figure out a way that the original marriage was not a marriage, is what they're going to do. They'll look at everything. Rabbanim look at videos of the first marriage, they'll speak to the Eidim, they'll do whatever they possibly can to try to make sure, to try to come up with a way that the first marriage was not a marriage, and that way, the children with the second guy are not going to be a Mamzerim. So Hillel Hazakin was no different. He already said, Havili Ksuba Simchem, bring me the Ksuba. Let me see the Ksuba from that first marriage. Havilo Ksuba Simon, they brought the Ksubos, Umatza Shekasaben, and they found that it says in the Ksuba, Likashetikansi the Chuppah, Havili the Insu. That instead of just saying Harei Mekadeshesli, it says Likashetikansi the Chuppah, Havili the Insu. When you go into the Chuppah, that's when you'll be my wife. He said, okay, the children aren't Mamzerim because they never made it to the Chuppah. Meaning it's Kiddushin Al Tanai. The Kiddushin was only Al Tanai that they make it to Chuppah. If they don't make it to Chuppah, the whole Kiddushin's invalid. They were never married. The children are not Mamzerim, off the hook. Says the Nemuke Yosef that even if it didn't say this explicitly in the Ksubas of these particular people, but again, what did Tosfos say before? What's the Chiddush of all these Dorish Lashon Hedyot? Anyone could be Dorish Lashon Hedyot. He said, even if it doesn't say it, if that was the practice of what they would write in general in that community, then that's enough. It's ki'il, they did say it. So it's an even bigger chiddush than it sounds like. It's not that Hillel just took a tanai in the shtar kiddushin or in the ksuba and said, oh, you see, the tanai was not met over here, so don't worry, the marriage isn't binding. He took a tanai that wasn't even written, says the Nemuke Yosef. He just took a tanai and he said, that's the standard tanai. And that's what the Rishonim point out. That's why Dafka says, Anche Alexandria. Why do I care where these people were from? No, because that was the Minhag HaMakom in Alexandria. And the Rashba says, and therefore when he said, Havili Ksuba Siman, Havili Ksuba Siman, Havili Ksuba Simcha, when he said, bring me your mother's Ksubas, he wasn't referring to these kids who were under suspicion of being Mamzerim. You have to bring me your mother's Ksubas. He wanted to see Ksubas from around that town. That's how he did the research. Let me just see Ksubas from that neighborhood. And Ksubas from that neighborhood were written in that way, done. Marriage is not a good marriage. The original marriage is not a valid marriage, and it's totally mutter. Rabbi Shimon Karcha, Dorish Lashon Hadyot. Rabbi Shimon Karcha was the fourth example of someone who darshan lashon hadyot. Titania, Rabbi Shimon Karcha Omer, Hamalas Chaver Lo Yimishkanenu Yoser Michova. That if a person lends something to his friend, you shouldn't take a mashkan that's worth more than the loan itself. Shekach Chosivol, because they included in the agreement Tashlumasa Di Isla Chalai Kal Kabal Dichi, that the payment that you owe me equals the value of this security that I'm taking, of this mashkan that I'm taking. So you can't say that if you're going to take a mashkan that's worth more than the loan. So time is the kazalahachi, haylo kazalahachi lo kanya. So wait a second. Sounds like you only it's only because he wrote this lashon. Sounds like if he didn't write this lashon, if you then return the mashkan, meaning the point is that if you write this lashon, even if you return the mashkan to the guy because you feel like he needs it, you still have the advantages of a malval mashkan. You still get some of the advantages of someone who lends with a mashkan in terms of collecting from yisomim. Normally, if I just borrow money, lend money to somebody, and then the guy dies, I can't collect metaltalin from the yisomim. But if it was mavala mashkon, then I can collect metaltalin from the yisomim. So what if I was mavala mashkon, I took the mashkon, but then I felt bad that he doesn't have his mashkon, he needs his mashkon, so I give it back to him. But as long as I have that lashon written up, I'm allowed to still collect metaltalin from yisomim. I still have the advantages of a mavala mashkon. But says Gemara, really, only if you write it, you have the advantages of a mavala mashkon. But if not, v'hamar Rabbi Yochanan mashkon of a heshvelo mashkon umeis shomto me'al gabi banav. Rabbi Yochanan says, beferish, no, you take a mashkon and you return the mashkon because you feel bad, you're a nice guy. You can still take metaltalin from the children. You still have the advantages of mavala mashkon. You don't have to write such a special lashon in the shtar. So answers Gemara, no, ahani k'siva l'giraon. What the k'siva helps for is if it devalues, if the mashkon, the value of the mashkon goes down. So if the value of the mashkon stays the same, you're right. It doesn't make a difference if I write this lashon or not. But if the value of the mashkon goes down, if I didn't write this lashon, I can only collect the lesser amount, the value of the mashkon right now. Whereas if the value of the mashkon went down and I did write such a lashon, I can collect metaltalin up until the value of the actual loan. I don't have to look at what the mashkon is worth right now. So you do have some advantage in writing such a lashon. So that was the fourth lashon hadyot. Fifth lashon hadyot and final one. Rabbi Yossi Yadarish lashon hadyot Titania. Rabbi Yossi Amar Makom Shnagel Lasos Ksuba Milveh Gove Milveh. If they treat a ksuba just like any other monetary exchange, like any other loan, then you collect it like any other loan. What does that mean? You collect it like any other loan. They make it like any other loan. It means that the numbers are accurate. That when I lend you $1,000, we write that I lent you $1,000 in the shtar. We write accurate numbers. So if the minig in that place is that they would write accurate numbers in the ksuba, so you think to yourself, Ribbono Shel Olam, why would they write inaccurate numbers in the ksuba? No, but that was a very common practice. The Gemara is about to discuss, Gemara and ksubas discuss as well. It's a very common practice in order to make it sound like a more chash of a type of wedding, so they would write numbers that were exorbitant that really had nothing, no sheikh. There was some percentage, like they knew it was a chap. It was like, you know, 4 to 1%. You know, if it says $20,000, you know that it was really $5,000. You know, it was understood. But if the minhag of that place is that they actually write real numbers, it was a yeksha community, so they write the real numbers. They're very precise. They're very exact. So then you collect the real number. Lichpol gov mechza. If generally they write double the amount that you're really bringing into the marriage, that she's really bringing in with the nixitzon barzel, then you only collect half of what it says, because that's really what was brought in. Narbalai gavu tilsa, and in Narbalai they collected 1/3, because that, again, that was their minhag. Maremar magvi nami shivcha. Maremar would collect everything that was written, and he would collect from the Aviyabas everything. The chassan would be able to all the value. So Amar Ravina Lemaimar Vatanya Lichbol Govemechza. But wait a second, I thought if the minig is to exaggerate the values, that you're only supposed to collect half of what it says because that's the real number. So why are you collecting everything? Lo kasha hadikani minei hadilokani minei. It depends if they made a kinyan. If he made a kinyan from the Aviyabas, so then he's really really being mechayev himself in the full amount that's written, even though that's not what's actually what was actually brought in. Whereas if lo kani minei, then we just assume it was a guzma. Ravina mishabech v'kasav lebarte. Ravina also wrote, he exaggerated the values and wrote for his daughter. Amle nikna minei demar. So they said, ah, we want to make a kinyan on that amount. They tried to get him, so that he could he'd have to be achray for the full amount, even though it was clearly an exaggeration. Amle hu, he says, we want to make a kinyan imikna la michbal. If you make a kinyan, we got to change the numbers. Imichbal lo mikna. And if you want me to double the numbers, then we're not making a kinyan. He chapped that they were trying to get him. Hu gavra less ksuba de less batigra, right? The Gemara says there's no such thing as a ksuba, that there's not some fight about. They always try to chap each other. Nowadays, thank God, we don't have fights about the ksuba. We have about everything else. Hu gavra da amr lu, there was a guy that said to someone else, havala abra me azuzi de barti b'ksubasa. Give 400 zuz for my daughter for a ksuba. Now, he just said to people who were around, on his deathbed, he was a mitzav machmas misa, I want $400 for my daughter for a ksuba. So they didn't know what that meant. When you're dealing with inaccurate numbers and people who bedafka write inaccurate numbers, you don't know whether the number means the number or the number means another number. So they didn't know what he meant. So shalok ravacha breid ravavi lekamed ravashi, arba mea di'inun timni mea, or arba mea zuzi din ma'asan. Is it the 400 that really means 800? Or is it the 400 that really means 200? Meaning, which number is the 400? Is the 400 the number we're supposed to write, and therefore it's really 200? Is 400 the number that it's supposed to be, and therefore we should write 800? So, Ravashi Chazinan, Iamar Havula Arba Mea Zuzidin Timni Mea. If he says, I want you to actually give 400, right? He uses the Lashon Havu, give. So then it's really 800, because if you want to give 400, you're supposed to write 800. Iamar Ksovula. You have to be medayik in his lashon. If he said write for her 400, then arba mea zuzi dinun ma'asan. Then it's 400. It's really 200. Then he means that you should write 400, but really only give 200. Igada amri amar avashi chazinan. I amar liksubasa. He says if he says for her ksuba liksubasa arba mea zuzi dinun timni mea. Liksubasa would imply for actual collecting in of the ksuba, so then it would be 400. That's really 800. You would write 800, and it means 400 of actual money. The yomer big subasa, right? It's like Sfiras HaOmer, right? If you say big subasa, then arba mea zuzi di inun maasan. Then it means something else entirely. It means right in the shtar of the ksuba, 400, which means that it should really be the actual value should only be 200. The difference between le and bi. Velohi, and says, but we reject that distinction. Loshna damar liksubasa, loshna damar biksubasa. It doesn't make a difference if you say liksubasa or biksubasa. Arba mea zuzi din masan, adamar havalastama. We assume that when he says 400, it's a real value of 200 until he says havalastama. Unless he says havalastama, in which case he would seriously mean 400. Next story. Hu gavra de kabel arba mechavre. A guy was mekabel land from his friend. Amri imavarnala yehivna lach alfa zuze. And he says, you know what? If I don't work this land, if I leave this land fallow and don't grow anything here, I'll pay you 1,000 zuz. So it's like, I'll give you $1,000,000 if I don't work this place. So over tilta, and he worked 2/3 of the land, but 1/3 of the land he sort of left unworked, unfinished. Sarminyardai dinu diavle tlasme of tlasun vitlasu tilsa. So he owes him 333 1/3 zuz, because he said he's going to pay 1,000 zuz if he doesn't work the land. There was 1/3 of the land he didn't work, so he's got to pay for 1/3 of the penalty that he had agreed upon. Rav amar smachti v'asmachta lo kanya. So we've had a smachta many times before. Rav says this is a classic example of a smachta. What does a smachta mean? When I get into a deal, I make a deal with you that I don't intend to ever have to suffer the consequences of. Meaning, I say that if I don't do this, I'm going to pay this penalty because I'm so sure that I'm going to do it. I don't think it's ever going to come to the fact that I don't do it. Gambling is a smachta. Why? According to one day in the Gemara, because when I say that that if the Yankees win the game, then you owe me $100. But if the Yankees lose the game, I'll owe you $100. It's because I'm so confident they're going to win. I don't think they're actually going to lose. And if they lose, that's a smachta. I didn't actually intend to really have to pay you $100. because I didn't intend for them to lose. So here as well, that again, the Rishonim point out, that may not be asmachta, the case of the Yankees, because I'm not in control of what the Yankees do. Over here, working the field, I do believe I'm in full control of whether I work the field. So this is more likely to be asmachta, according to Shitas Rashi, I believe, this is more likely to be asmachta because I believe that I'm in control of it. I never really thought I was going to have to pay any penalty. I really thought I was going to work the field. So Rava says, therefore, it's not kona. Ul-Rava, but according to Rava, why is this any different than our Mishnah? Say, if I don't work the field, I'm still going to pay what the field could have produced. What, do you think when I made that agreement, I really thought that I wasn't going to work the field and I was going to lose money on this? And I was going to have to pay what the field produced anyway? So says, no, hasam lo kagazim, hachak even to come nil siyasirta, guzma bialmu de kagazim. There's a difference between saying, I'll pay you what this field could produce, and I'll pay you $1 million. When you say I'll pay you $1 million, that's understood as an expression of an exaggeration. But when I say I'll pay you what this field could produce, well, I'm taking this field from you and I'm telling you I'm going to work on it, so I probably mean it when I say that I'm going to pay you what this field will produce. Who gathered a couple hours of the shumshumi? A guy was mekabel land to plant sesame seeds in it, zarechiti, but instead he planted the less lucrative wheat. Of the chiti kashum shmi, he got lucky, and the wheat was able to make as much money as the sesame seeds could have made. So Rav Kana lemeimer manchile kach shadiara. So Rav Kana thought maybe the fact that when you plant wheat, it takes away less from the land than when you plant sesame. So he thought that maybe we could deduct that from the agreement, because I got you a better deal than you thought. You thought I was going to destroy the land by planting sesame, and at least you'd make a lot of money. I made you the same amount of money, and I didn't destroy the land. So maybe if that difference in the value of the land, I should be compensated. So no, I'd rather my land be weakened than my money be, than my bottom line be weakened. So I'm not makbid about the weakening of the land. I wasn't makbid about the weakening of the land. I wanted it to make a lot of money. Who gathered the kabbal out of the shum shmi? A guy was makabel land again to plant sesame, zarechiti, and instead he planted wheat. Of the chiti tfeim in shum shmi, and the wheat that he planted actually was ended up being worth more than the sesame. So Ravina lemer yavle shivcha debeni. So Ravina thought that you should pay for he should give him the extra value that was the difference between the wheat and the sesame, meaning because it produced more than it was supposed to. So Ravina, what, do you think that the wheat was worth so much because of this guy's work and not because of the land? The land which belongs to the Balabais is also contributed to the increased value of the wheat. So he doesn't have to compensate him for the excess funds that were that were collected as a result of producing a very good crop. The production of the very good crop is every bit as much a chelik of the balabais as it is a chelik of the worker. Okay, Hashem will continue with more halachos relating to tablanim tomorrow.